Hello, my wonderful friends, wherever you are. My name is Dr. Linda Price, and I am the Little Old Lady Professor. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that you probably have never thought very much about. As a matter of fact, maybe you've never even heard about it. And the title for Podcast 11 is, What Am I Doing Right? And I think this is so ironic, and I wanted to do this podcast for a long time because the majority of the adults with learning disabilities or dyslexia or other kinds of invisible disabilities, if I would talked with them about their disability, the one thing that they could always tell me is what they did wrong. They might say to me, well, you know, Dr. Price, I'm just not really a good reader. I don't read very fast. Or I have the worst handwriting in the world. Or maybe they'll say, you know, I can't organize stuff. It just doesn't work for me. Or I try to pay attention in class and I just can't focus. All of those things are traits or signs of LD or dyslexia or ADHD, but they don't really tell the whole picture about somebody. They don't show a lot of the things that that person may already be doing right, and you know, they never stop to think about it. So today we're going to focus on that. And we're going to start by looking at a process called self-reflection. And you know, I can hear you right now. I could just, wherever you're sitting, I can see you scrunching up your face and looking at me and going, oh, Dr. Price, don't make me do this. Don't make me talk about self-reflection. I don't like that touchy-feely crap. What is this, cheap therapy? And I totally get that. You know, that's one of the reasons I think that we don't do more self-reflection is because it's not something that people are always comfortable talking about, people are comfortable about doing. But if you take the time to do it, I think you'll be amazed at all the information that you get and really will help you to look at various aspects of your life. So if you go to the blog, and by the way, the blog for Podcast 11, as usual, is full, jam-packed with all kinds of ideas and tips and citations and activities all about self-reflection and also about doing what you're doing that you're doing right. So let's start first by talking about self-reflection. The simplest definition for self-reflection is you think about what you're already doing. So you literally sit back and maybe put your toes up. Maybe you have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. Maybe you have a glass of wine. Just kind of take some time to relax. You know, put a little bit of comfortable music on and just think about some questions. Let me give you a couple things to think about just to get you started in the process. How many times have you been passed over for a promotion at work? Why do you keep getting stuck in the same relationships over and over again? What makes you feel really happy? What makes you feel really frustrated or angry? What were the times that you felt really proud of yourself? And by the way, I know you can think right away of the times that you felt really ashamed of yourself, but what about the times that you felt proud of yourself? What were the situations that you needed, that you just needed a little more help, just maybe that one extra push to be successful in what you were trying to do? Is there maybe a goal that you've been wanting to achieve for years, but you just don't quite know how to do it? These questions, by the way, are on the blog, if you want to go through these again. And any or all of these questions will start you thinking about maybe some patterns or some triggers in your life. And they'll make you start thinking about, you know, why do you do what you do? For example, the first one, maybe you've been at the same job for years and years and years. And everybody's getting promoted but you. Everybody's getting a raise but you. Or let's take the reverse of that. I talked with an adult with learning disabilities who had had 12 jobs in 10 months. He was the kind of guy that could literally go out there and sell snow to Eskimos, but he could never stay on a job. Sometimes he wouldn't even stay to pick up his first paycheck. Now, why is that? What was the thing, the trigger in that pattern that made him constantly look for jobs over and over again. Again, I know that's an extreme example, but think about your relationships. Maybe, you know, you keep finding the same relationship over and over again, and it just doesn't work. You date somebody for 6 months, and then they never call you again. Or you're involved with somebody, and suddenly you find out that, you know, the love and the affection is gone. And how are you going to get out of this relationship? Those are just some very simple examples to help you think about why self-reflection might work for you. There's a lot of benefits to do self-reflecting. And first of all, the easy one is you don't need any training. You don't need a lot of guidance. It doesn't cost anything. You can do it anywhere. You can do it by yourself. You can do it with somebody else. Once you start, and there's a lot of good resources, by the way, that are on the website. Once you start kind of figuring out how to self-reflect, you'll be amazed at how you can kind of get into it. And it isn't as hard as you think. There are also a number of researchers that have talked about wonderful things that can happen when you start practicing self-reflection. First of all, it can help you get unstuck if you're at a dead end or you're digging yourself into a big hole. And Lord only knows how many of us have been in that situation before. It allows you to gain perspective so you don't repeat the same thing or the same mistake over and over and over. It can help you get back on track if you feel like you're losing your way at home or at school or maybe with your family. It will clarify your responses and your results so that you're more effective at what you're doing. Maybe as a student, you really, 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 really have problems with SA exams. And you're an English major, so you get a lot of tests that all they do is have you write and do essay exams. You may want to self-reflect a little bit on kind of what that pattern is and if you need an accommodation maybe to help you with your writing skills, or maybe just to talk with a trusted professor or maybe somebody in the disability office to give you some new things to think about in terms of maybe doing better on essay exams. But there's a lot, that's just a few of the benefits that you can get from self-reflection. And I think for me, the biggest benefit of self-reflection, which is why I like to do it, is because it keeps me from overreacting. How many times have you made a terrible decision because you overreacted? How many times were you impulsive and said the wrong thing at the wrong time, and you literally could have kicked yourself? How many times, if you think back, do you wish you would have taken a different path or been more thoughtful and took some time to think about something? We all have those regrets in our life, whether we have invisible disabilities or not. But the point is if you see this as a pattern in your life, you may want to do some self-reflection to keep you from going down the wrong road again or making the wrong decision again. Now, part of that whole idea of wrongness, and we'll talk about that in a minute, is deficit thinking. So I'm going to stop, give you a chance to take a break, and then we'll talk about deficit thinking. Hi guys, I'm back. So let's talk a little bit about deficit thinking. Deficit thinking is a relatively new model, the theoretical model, and I would again bet you that you probably have never heard about this before, but it's being talked about in educational circles as kind of a new idea about people that are not successful in school. And basically what the whole idea of deficit thinking is that the school system or the teachers or the administrators or somebody is blaming people for something that they do not have any control over. And an example of that would be, for example, if some of the literature is talking about minority and low-income students, that, and I really like this quote, Reed says that deficit thinking is blaming students for their shortcomings. And Wallatex says deficit thinking leads educators to assume disadvantaged or marginalized students, and in this case, I think it's folks with invisible disabilities. Why do they do poorly in their classes? Now, okay, that's a nice theory. Okay, that'll maybe buy you a cup of coffee at Starbucks on a good day. But how does this apply to people with adolescents or adults with LD or dyslexia? In my experience looking at and talking to folks that have these invisible disorders, they are their own worst enemies. And I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to just kind of sit back, take a deep breath, and ask yourself if you have ever been your own worst enemy. Have you ever thought, well, if only I could read better, if only I could pass this class, if only maybe I could talk to people and they would listen to me, if only maybe I could get a better job, if only maybe, you know, I could make more money, if only I had kids that were not acting out, if only I was in a stable relationship? I want to give you a clue, which I think you probably figured out already. Everybody thinks those thoughts. Everybody, at different times in their life, we all have the if-onlys or what-ifs. We all go through that. But in my experience, people with LD and dyslexia, that's a common thought that they have because they feel like there are all these things that they can't do. This is deficit thinking. And the other piece of deficit thinking is they tend to blame themselves. And I see this over and over again. Well, you know, I didn't get that promotion because of my LD. I'm just not smart enough. Or, you know, I haven't gone on a date for 6 months because, you know, I just don't know how to talk to people because of my processing problem. Or, you know, I really want to go on this trip to Spain, but God, because of my, you know, my LD, I can't learn Spanish. I don't know how I'm going to learn that. Again, it's all of that deficit thinking. It's blaming yourself. And I love this quote. This is from a website that's on the blog. When they talk about learning disabilities, they say, it's not a deficit and you don't need to fix it. Whoa. Sit back here. Take a minute. Take a breath. Think about that. That needs to be in a t-shirt. Those of you that love tattoos, go out and tattoo it on your arm. So you remind yourself, it is not a deficit. You don't need to fix your LD. People may have told you that for years. You may have had that mindset for years. Maybe your environment, the school or your family or friends or whoever have reinforced that there's something really wrong with you. Guess what? There isn't. Get over it. You have a learning disability or you have dyslexia. It's not a deficit and you don't need to fix it. But one way you can compensate for that, just like I wear glasses because I'm extremely nearsighted, is you can figure out what you're doing that's right. And there are a lot of examples on the website, including, hello, hello, 4 tips that will help you start to move in that direction. Again, I'm going to stop for a minute and I'm going to give you a break and then we'll talk a little bit about those tips. Hi guys, welcome back. I hope that you went to the bathroom or you smoked your cigarette or you did, you know, had your extra cup of double latte coffee, whatever you did. But now let's talk a little bit more about how you would self-reflect to start figuring out the kinds of things that you do right. Let me give you a couple examples, and these are already in the blog on the website, but I'll just repeat them here just in case you're interested. The first one is relatively simple, I think. Let's talk a little bit about Carol. Carol is married to the love of her life. She absolutely adores this man. They met romantically, and she fell in love with him, and he fell in love with her. They've been married for 3 years, and her husband, Jabari, has a big family. They have lots and lots. He has lots and lots of brothers and sisters and cousins and nieces and nephews and so forth. However, As much as Carol loves her husband Jabari and as much as she loves her family, she can't stand her mother-in-law. Imani, who is her mother-in-law, really never wanted Carol to marry Jabari, and she never misses an opportunity to tell both Jabari and Carol that he married the wrong woman. She constantly has little nasty, digs, little nasty comments. Carol will make a dish maybe to bring to a family gathering that she worked really, really hard on, and Imani will take a taste of it and go, well, you know, this just doesn't taste right, but that's okay, because she's really not Spanish, so she doesn't understand what we're talking about. So Carol has constant problems with her mother-in-law. When she talks to her other sisters-in-law and to the other family members, they just tell her to ignore Imani and not get involved in all of her dramatics. But it really gets to Carol, and she's at the point that she hates getting together for family get-togethers, and she knows that it makes Jabari feel bad, and it makes her feel terrible. So all of a sudden, she goes to work one day. She's a special ed teacher in a small public school, and she finds that she has a new colleague. And this woman is another teacher in the public school, and right away, it's like she is Imari's twin sister. She makes negative snap judgment. She says nasty comments about Carol, and a lot of those comments is because Carol has dyslexia and she has trouble reading, and she doesn't read very fast, and Carol also doesn't remember exactly what she has just read, and so she doesn't talk about this a lot. A lot of her colleagues that she works with in the public schools, a couple of them know that she has dyslexia. They know she uses accommodations, and everybody's cool with it. Not this new woman. This new woman always makes a point of saying something nasty or making fun of Carol and talking about Carol's teaching ability. Carol sits back and starts to think, and she knows that that trigger for her when she self-reflects is those nasty critical comments. And right away, how does Carol respond? She gets angry. She has hurt feelings. She gets very resentful. She almost can't stand to be in the same room with this woman. And then she thought about the suggestion that her in-laws have given her. Just ignore this woman. And Carol, who is a very smart woman, after doing her self-reflection, also decided she was going to go online and read a little bit about how to deal with triggers, especially in terms of triggers for anger and hurt feelings and resentment. When she looked online, she found that she needed to start setting a boundary to protect herself. And she also figured out that she needed to ignore those triggers whenever this woman would start being nasty to her. She just needed to ignore her. If this woman would say some nasty little comment while they were in the break room, Carol would just change the subject. She definitely would not feed into the drama that this woman was trying to build and trying to get everybody to pay attention to her. And if it really got to Carol, she was just going to get up and leave the room entirely. So that was her plan, to start taking care of herself, setting a boundary, and it was all based on the advice from her in-laws. Carol was able to take what could be two very nasty situations, one with her mother-in-law and one with this woman that she was going to have to work with at school, and to turn those into something that was positive, something where she could move forward by setting boundaries and protecting herself and ignoring that situation. Carol was wondering if she could do the same thing with her mother-in-law. Could she try the same approach again? And the point is Carol figured out what to do right. That Carol was able to take care of herself. Carol was able to self-reflect and see that this could be not a great situation. And she was able to kind of take a deep breath, sit back, figure out what she needed to do, and then move forward. Those are some great ways to use self-reflection to figure out how to make your life better. We have another one. I'll give you another quick scenario, and I like this one a lot. This one is also on the website. This is from Mateo. Mateo is a kid that was the first person in his family to graduate from college. He had always loved working with animals. He'd always loved doing things, you know, going to zoos, and he wanted pets. And he was the kid. He lives in a hardcore urban area in a large city on the East Coast. He was the first person that if he saw a hurt animal on the street, he would take it in and try to fix it. He would go over, and the veterinarian's office was a couple blocks from his house, so he would always kind of go over and hang around over there if he could. He tried to do volunteer work with the local animal shelter. Animals were a big thing in Mateo's life. And when he thought there was a chance that he could go to college, he was so excited. He was able to get in, and he was able to get certified as a vet technician. He was able to get a college degree. And, you know, he was so proud of himself. He was able to do the career that he always wanted to do. And his family was thrilled. I mean, Mateo was making it. This was really, he was a success story in his family and with his friends. The problem is, he has over $40,000 in student loans. Can any of you relate to that? Hello, does this make any sense to you? And so he still has to live at home. He can barely pay his bills. You know, he's lucky if he can, you know, have beer money to go out on Saturday night with his buddies, because he is so in debt. He's dug himself into this big hole, and he doesn't know how he's going to get his way out. So he sits back and he does a little self-reflecting. And then he decides he's going to go talk to his Aunt Gloria. Now, his Aunt Gloria also has dyslexia. She shared this with him a long time ago. It's not something they talk about in the family. But, you know, she and Mateo really bond. He's always been her favorite nephew, and they bonded over this. So a lot of times he will go and cry on her shoulder or get her advice. And he told her, you know, he said, I've got poor reading skills. I can't write worth anything. I have bad spelling skills. I'm never going to be a vet. I'm never going to go to college. She basically smacked him upside of the head, and she said, stop it. She said, I have dyslexia. I own my own beauty shop. I have been self-employed for 20 years. I know what it means to be dyslexic and to have to try to figure out how to be successful. The first thing is, you need to be prepared to work twice as hard. Just take that for granted. This is going to be your life. Every day, you're going to do twice as much, be twice as motivated, and work twice as hard as everybody else. Pull up your big boy underwear and get this in your head. Second thing you need to do is plan, 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 plan. You need clear, concrete steps to get to your goal. Well, those two pieces of advice were exactly what Mateo needed, and because his Aunt Gloria was kind of his cheerleader, he was able to graduate from college and get this great job. That's the good news. The bad news is he's still $40,000 in debt. So how does he pay off that debt? He decided to take that same advice and apply it again. He looked online for advice how to pay off his student loans, and he planned, and developed a plan. He signed up for automatic debit at his bank. He always tried to pay more than the minimum payment, and he got a tax refund of maybe $1,200 that he put right on his student debt. He also made a new budget, and he got a second job. And every time he got paid for that second job, he put that money right away onto his student debt. Because he made the biggest payments he could, and he doubled the minimum every month, he was able to pay off his loan in 2.5 years. And that's incredible. And partially he did that because he was able to self-reflect and figure out what he was doing that was right. He was able to stick to his budget, he was able to be disciplined, and he was able to put his life in a positive direction instead of going deeper and deeper in debt. All of those are examples of how you can figure out what you're doing right, and you can use that through self-reflection to make your life even better. At this point, we're going to stop again, and then I'm going to give you some tips and tricks. And by the way, I apologize. I've got so much good stuff to share with you that I am going to make this a little extra longer podcast. So there may be a couple breaks in here. Just be kind enough and bear with me, okay? Let's take our break. Hey guys, welcome back. There's lots and lots of different ways that you can get information that you can use when you're trying to figure out what you're doing right. And I've got four tips for you that are going to give you those pieces to put the puzzle together for you. So we've talked in generalities up till now. Now we're going to talk about your life specifically. Tip number one is talking about feedback. Now, we've already dealt with feedback in a whole podcast, and we've talked about feedback a little bit in some of the other podcasts, so I'm not going to go into that in depth. But what I want to emphasize is that if you're trying to figure out not what you're doing wrong, but what you're doing right, a lot of times the feedback that people will give you will give you those aha moments or give you those clues so that you know how to kind of push your life in a positive direction. For example, the two scenarios that we talked about with Carol, she got feedback from her in-laws, and that helped her figure out how to deal with the woman that was at her school, and then hopefully it would also help her to figure out how to deal with her mother-in-law in a much more positive way. In terms of Mateo, when he went to talk to his Aunt Gloria, she gave him feedback that he could use throughout his life, and that not only helped him to dig his way out of that hole of the $40,000 debt, but it also moved his life in a more positive direction. And if you're able to do that, if you're able to take feedback from somebody else and move your life forward, that's a huge asset. And you, that way, you've already figured out what you're doing right. On the blog, we talk a little bit about some ways that you can gather feedback. And if you have any questions about that, be sure to refer back to podcast 9, especially the section by Bugard 2020. This was the guy that told you how to get feedback and then how to respond to it. Tip number two is a totally different approach to getting information about figuring out how you're doing right. Tip number two is saying, learn how to sell yourself. Now, again, you may be looking at me going, come on, Dr. Price, what kind of dope are you smoking? Okay, I don't need to sell myself. I'm not a salesman. I'm not a business person. But surprisingly, you do need to learn how to sell yourself in certain situations. And that, just like feedback, is going to give you amazing clues about what you're currently doing right in your life. For example, many, many, many times people learn how to sell themselves to get a different job, or to get their first job, or to get a promotion, or to get a raise where they're working. And you know, one way that you learn how to sell yourself is that you develop a really kick-ass resume, or maybe you work and work and work so that when you interview for a job, you're the only person that they're going to want to hire. All of these tend to be job-oriented skills, but we're going to take that one step further, and we're going to talk about how you could apply that to other areas of adult life. So think about what you would like to make a change in your life, something maybe besides your job that would be interesting to you. For example, maybe you want to move to a different part of the country, or maybe you want to get a raise. Maybe you want to start dating again. Maybe if you've been in a committed relationship for a long time, you'd like to think about having a child. Maybe you want to go to a different college, or you want to finish your degree. Any or all of those things are examples of how you can make positive changes in your life. And there's a really interesting article by Parker 2022 that is on the blog. Now, he's talking about how you sell yourself to get a job, but all of these things apply equally when you're also thinking about looking at these other areas. He suggests that if you want to learn how to sell yourself, so let's say, for example, that you maybe want to buy a new home. You want to figure out how to get a new home or a different home. First thing you can do is that you can go ahead and you can be confident. Don't sit and tell yourself all that deficit thinking like, oh God, I'll never be able to do this, I can't afford it, yada, yada, yada. Be confident and be persistent. Talk to different people. Talk to different realtors. Go online. Ask advice from friends and family. Also, when you're thinking about it, look at the big picture. Think about the big dream. And don't be boring. Don't think about little tiny steps, but think about what you really want to do. See if you can suggest a solution for yourself. And if you're talking to other people, maybe, if you're talking to a realtor or maybe somebody wants to sell their house and you want them to sell it to you, make sure that you suggest a solution, that you use a lot of positive nonverbal language, and in general, you just be positive as well. Other examples of that are maybe you have always wanted to have a dog. You could never have one with your family. And let's say your roommate or your significant other said, oh, all right, if you have to, let's go ahead and get a dog. Tell me what you want to do. This is a perfect time to sell yourself. Again, you can be confident. You can be persistent, but don't nag. Don't be boring when you ask about getting a dog. You may want to leave pictures around, or you may want to just kind of gradually walk by the dog park a couple of times and let the person watch dogs with you. Suggest a solution, give a lot of nonverbals, and be positive. Again, by selling yourself, you are giving yourself one of the best tools that you can use to figure out and to be successful and figure out what you're doing that's right. At this point, we're going to take one more quick break, and then we'll finish up with tips 3 and tip 4. Tip 3 is one that maybe you've thought about, but not in this light. And tip number 3 is to start a diary, a portfolio, or an artifact file. Again, this is a great way to help you kind of sit down and self-reflect over time, look back and see what you're doing right. The old standby that everybody always likes to use is journaling. And again, in podcasts 1, 2, and 3, we talk a fair amount about journaling, so I'm not going to go into that now, although there is some examples of that on the blog. But you don't just have to sit down with a little notebook and write, or maybe go on your tablet and, you know, get a program, and start writing into that about it as a journal. There's lots of other ways that you can also record this information. Typically, especially people in the creative arts, maybe people who are in marketing, maybe people who are in film or in music, they tend to do a portfolio to show what their skills are and, you know, what their talents are, and they use those to apply for jobs. You can do what's called a life portfolio, and I have an article on the blog for you to look at that tells you how you can go back and look at your life and literally lay all the pieces out and think about them and see if what you did, where you were successful. And you can use photographs, you can use narrative, you can do video clips, songs, YouTube videos, whatever you think would be interesting in that life portfolio. And this is just for you. It's not for anybody else. It's to help you illustrate various portions of your life. For example, maybe you went through a really bad divorce and you came out on the other side and you're okay. That's something that's really important. That's a survival skill, and it's something called resiliency. And people spend years and years and years and years and thousands of dollars in therapy trying to figure out how to be resilient. You're doing that right already. Maybe, for example, you decided to take a risk and take an internship and travel abroad. That would be part of your life portfolio. the fact that you had that kind of courage, that kind of creativity, again, that kind of resiliency, that's something to celebrate. A third way that you can use tip number three is to develop an artifact file. And an artifact file is similar to, do you remember when you were a kid, everybody probably had, like in the old days we call them cigar boxes, but like boxes or sacks, something that had all of your trinkets and your memory stuff in it. A lot of people, when they were kids, kept it under their bed or they kept it in a drawer, and you'd pull it out and you'd open the lid of the box, and maybe there would be, like, you know, a favorite toy. Maybe there would be some rocks and some feathers in there that brought back good memories. You know, maybe there was a key or a keychain in there. Maybe there was some change. I mean, all kinds of different things that were in that box of treasures that you had as a kid. Well, now you're going to have a box of treasures as an adult. And so you can get, it's what we call an artifact file. The cool thing about an artifact file is that it gives you actual, complete, and full proof of the progress that you're making in your life, and it gives you physical things that you can put your hands on. So, for example, it could be a collar, maybe toys from a treasured pet, maybe a medal or a trophy from a sport that you're really, really good at, special pictures of family, your college diploma, picture of your first home, maybe you know, like a notebook or maybe a pen from your first job. Any of those things will help you figure out what you've done right. And a perfect example of that would be for Mateo. Mateo could keep the copies of all of his loan payments, and when the loan was finally paid off, he could then actually keep the copy of the final sign-off papers that he'd paid off the $40,000. What's going to make you feel better than that and let you know what you're doing right? Tip number four is another interesting one, and you may not have heard of this before, but I title it, Use Everyone as Your Mirror. And one of the things that's kind of interesting is that a lot of times, especially people with LD and dyslexia, who already are feeling pretty bad about themselves sometimes, they hate getting reactions from other people. They say something and then they look around to see if people think what they said was stupid. Or maybe they're watching faces very carefully to make sure that they understood what people are saying to them. Or, you know, maybe this is a person that has terrible organizational skills and they don't want anybody to come in their room, or they don't want to open the door, you know, and show somebody their desk because it's so disorganized. Again, those are reactions, that honest reactions that people have to the way you live your life. You can also use those as clues to help you figure out what you're doing right. And so literally that becomes another form of feedback. I call it observation. And what you're going to do in tip number four is you're going to spend a day or so and you're just going to literally observe how people react to you in different situations. And there's a wonderful website that I have on the blog that says 13 signs that, excuse me, I have to read this again, 13 signs that you're a better person than you think. And it's such a cool website because it gives you examples of some of the things that you're already doing right that you may not even be aware of. For example, maybe you're the kind of person that has good relationships. That's something to be incredibly proud of. Maybe you enjoy listening to other people. Maybe you're someone who practices your own values, or you have respect for others. Maybe you're that person that's always looking for ways to help other people. Those are all clues that you're going to see when people react to you. And those are things that will help you figure out what you're already doing right. So some examples that you may want to think about when you're watching for reactions from other people would be, how honest are other people with you? And how honest are you with other people? Do you avoid drama? Do people trust you with their secrets? And also, just when you're talking to someone, do they listen to what you say? Do they invite you to talk to them? Those are all reactions, positive reactions, that tell you some of the things that you're doing right. And if you really want to take tip four one step further, if you have someone that maybe is a trusted family or a trusted friend, that perhaps you may want to just pull them aside at some point and say, you know, let me buy you a cup of coffee, or let's just sit down and talk for a little bit. I've been thinking about myself lately, and I'm trying to feel better about myself. And these are some things that I think I'm doing pretty good. What do you think? And just get people to respond to that. Other questions that you can ask them again and get their reactions is you can ask them, what is something that I do that makes you happy? Or when was the last time that I made you smile? Any or all of those questions or responses will give you ideas about what you're doing right. Well, folks, we have talked in this podcast. And I so appreciate you hanging in there. I appreciate your patience. You know, again, I'm going to ask you, as I say at the end of every podcast, pass the word along. Let me know what you think. I'm always loving to hear your comments. Again, be sure to check out the blog and the website. And I'm going to leave you with this thought, which is the one that I leave you with every time. But this is kind of my philosophy of life, and I want to share it with you. Remember, just step out of those shadows. Go out and live your life. And you know what? It's your life, so live it with style and grace and kindness. And I'll see you in the next podcast. Thanks, guys. Take care from the Little Old Lady Professor.